Hey guys, Sean here. Thanks to everyone who tunes into the Play It Up podcast. We really love doing this podcast and really appreciate everyone who listens. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Play It Up Podcast. You can find the full video podcast on YouTube, and you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, Anchor, and more. If you want to ask us a question, you can do so on Anchor, and your question will be featured on the podcast. If you like what we do, please remember to like, review, comment, follow or subscribe, and please recommend us to your friends. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the episode.
I can't even remember how I used to do it.
Running through my head.
All the things she said, running through my head.
Running through my head.
Hello again, and welcome back to another episode of the Play It Up podcast. I am one of your hosts, Sean, and joining me today is
Neil.
Yeah,
that's me. Yeah,
it's Neil,
and where
he's the problem. It's
the,
Neil. You know,
the
Taylor Swift.
IT. Oh yeah. I'm trying
don't
to think what,
like you if, don't listen to it. Every day.
I listen to a bunch of Tay Tay because Heidi's
good,
running
man.
To. Yeah.
No, so
yeah,
she should
Heidi
be. She's empowering
Tay-Tay.
Women.
Yeah. We need more of that.
We do.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, well, because Mark and I are the Ghost Bros, so.
That's not what
I don't
call
know
you.
What we are.
But let's go with Ghost Bros.
Oh, Gobbies.
The Gobby Brothers.
I know.
Yeah. That's childish.
Well, we're
Neil.
Both pretty handy in IT, so
we
can be
are.
The handies.
Oh,
yeah.
True. Maybe we could be the the turn it off and on agains.
Yeah. Well, that's
or the,
that's factual.
The password resets.
Password resets. Yeah,
we'll work on it. Yeah. We'll workshop it, and we'll come up with something much better than that rubbish.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we get.
Have you?
Oh no! This is. We're just talking over each other, mate. The feng shui is all off.
Mark is just so much more calming to work with. You're just like a fucking scatterbrain, brother. Show's just all over the road.
I'm going to pretend you didn't
but
say that.
But it's entertaining. It's entertaining.
So help me God.
No, man. I love it. I love it, Sean.
This is the chaos of our podcast, you know. I think this is only the second one we've ever done together. The first one I was interviewing you. When it, the only
yeah.
second one has been just us.
Maybe we'll flip it on its head. Maybe I'll interview you.
Don't do that. It'll be boring.
So what are we talking about tonight, Sean?
Tonight we are talking about what we've been up to, what we've been playing. One of us did something ridiculous lately on a really difficult arcade game. Actually, you've probably done a couple of those. And some pickups. I got a really, really cool pickup just over the weekend. It was super random. Stoked on it. I think it's really cool. Because it was a good deal, came out of nowhere. And yeah, just generally that, maybe some upcoming stuff and an event or two that we've been to. So yeah, mate, shall we start with yourself? What have you been up to? What's the news?
Perfect, yeah. So I've got two pieces of news, I suppose. So I'll start with Spectre because it's my one and true love of video games.
A two-piece feed, and the first piece is Spectre. Delicious.
Yeah. It's so I had a game last night. I've been practicing my start, trying to... So you can point-press the first three levels. It's difficult to do, so it can be very frustrating. A little bit like trying to get a start on Donkey Kong. So how like you can so easily die two or three times on those first three levels or four levels.
Especially if you're point pressing.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Because with Spectre, you shoot these two green cars and you leave the red cars. And if you do that, the game doesn't progress and continues to regenerate the green cars. But one of the green cars shoots. And when they regenerate, they can regenerate out of anywhere. So 1 minute you're driving along and then you're all of a sudden like this green car like pretty much is on you and you die. So getting a decent start of the game is very difficult. But I ended up getting a start of 21,000 and I took that game to where I keep on dying on the same level. But that was enough to get me 78,000. So I'm really stoked with that. So
soon as you finish that level, you'll get a 9,000 point bonus, right? And that'll just smash the world record, or will it just kind of beat it a little by a little bit?
Yeah. So the record's mid 80s, I think it's like 80,500. So considering it's a low scoring game, most of the high score games are like in the like low millions or something like that, I suppose. So the fact that it's such a low scoring game to put like close to like 9,000 points on top of that, I think that's like that's a significant gap.
That's huge. So, that's like more than 10% of your score just for bonus. So
yeah,
it'll be a massive PB, and you will do it.
So yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I gave myself 12 months to get this record, and nice. I'm getting pretty close, about 3 months in. So nice. Yeah, I'll certainly take that. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, you haven't let me down yet, so I believe in you.
Oh, thanks, Sean. Yeah.
That's so, all right, mate.
Got Sean in my corner.
You can do anything.
Speaking about having Sean in my corner, we were at Netherworld the other day.
That's the other time.
With the other Play It Up boys, Dennis Coolen, Cooligan.
The Coolkin.
And Mike Edmonds.
Dennis Coolkin and Mike Edmonds. Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, lovely chaps. Lovely, great guys. If you ever met them before, they're the bee's knees of the arcade scene in Brisbane.
Those blokes were all right.
Yeah. Yeah. So we caught up at Netherworld because I was kind of like, this was just after I'd been sick for like 3 weeks. I was just really keen to get out and catch up with you guys. So turns out Dennis was having family, like he had family at Netherworld having like a bar feed. So we all went in and we were playing some Donkey Kong. Put in a credit on Donkey Kong and had a hell of a game.
Can I brag first? I got 200 and something thousand. That was a pretty good warm-up game. At least I thought so at the time.
Just lubricated the stick.
You saw that?
Just well enough. I jumped on after Sean. Mike had a quick level one go. I think he was trying to get the highest score he could on level one. And then, I just jumped on just expecting like average Sunday. I don't know what I was expecting. I knew I would have been happy with 400,000, because that's kind of like I think that's still a decent score for like an average game of Donkey Kong. I actually got 400 with my first man, and then I moved on pretty quickly, and there was a little hiccup with a barrel that I had. I tried to jump a barrel and I felt like the controller didn't move, and I think I died at like 600k. And then I had another death at about 700k on barrels, and then the last one was a kill screen. So It was just a really random kill screen that just happened at Netherworld on a really busy day. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. Really weird environment, because there was like a band that was playing, but they weren't just like rocking the whole time. Like they played a song and then like waited like 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. It was weird that it was like all of a sudden super hectic and loud, and it was coming at, you know, I mean, every part of Donkey Kong's pretty tense, but you know, if that's happening just as you're about to do the springs, just out of nowhere, and it is loud in there. It is not like, you know, it's basically, it's a small little concert room where you, no matter where you are, you're close to the speakers.
Yep. Yeah, and
it all reverberates off the walls, I guess. So,
off all those paintings,
off me.
But yeah, but it was that was actually really hard to play through. There was like lots of people coming up behind me that I didn't know, and there was lots of people who were like this band just played, and like Donkey Kong, when you're playing Donkey Kong at Netherworld, it's loud. Like it's a loud machine. You can hear it over any other machine.
Oh yeah, even the pinballs. Yeah.
But with this band playing, I found that was very, very distracting, and like just trying to like listen for your hammer running out and things like that. It's only small things, but yeah, it was just a really interesting experience. But one I really loved, it was really cool having Sean, Mike, and Dennis talk shit over my shoulder.
Kept relaxed.
Me pretty chill. Yeah, definitely. And had a beer by my side. So.
Oh yeah, I was awesome, man. It was such a cool thing to witness. Like, saw you having a good first man. Like after 200K, I was like, all right, he's having a decent game here. But as we all know, you don't get your hopes up with Donkey Kong, and as those hundreds of thousands like landmarks or milestones passed, I was starting to think more and more, shit, he might do this. And I would go and watch something else because, you know, Donkey Kong's painful enough to play for that long, let alone watch. But I kept coming back and watching for a few minutes, and it was really entertaining. And one of the boards you had at the end, I don't know if you were going to talk about that, or if it's okay, well, I do, but it made me lose my mind, man. That rivets board was one of the sickest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, feel free to explain it. I think you might do it a bit more justice.
Well, I have a pretty clear memory. Like, it was a pretty standard board. Like, it wasn't that dangerous until it got to the point where you had the, I think you had one rivet left, maybe, or a couple. No, you had a few left, right? So it was a fairly dangerous one still.
I think it was like the two top ones on the right were left. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And you were on the second level, so not on the ground level, like the one up from that, down the bottom, right?
Yeah.
On the right side. And you were on the right side of the gap between the rivets. You had already cleared that rivet. And you were trapped between two fireballs, one on the other side of the gap and one on your right, with just a small amount of space where that fireball can go back and forth between basically the barriers, like, because they can't fall off the platform. And you were situated perfectly where the fireball on the other side couldn't get you, but the fireball on this side, if you jumped and timed your jump properly and it didn't turn around quickly after you landed, then you were safe. And you did, was it four or five jumps?
Four. Yeah. Four and straight jumps.
Like, one of those is a highlight on its own. When someone does one of those and then escapes, it's just like, whoa. Even if you just jump a fireball and run away, that's like a mini highlight, because you just try to avoid them as much as possible. But after the second one, me and Dennis and you were kind of just like, holy shit. And then number three came, and then number four. And then the fireballs kind of scattered a little bit, and you had space to move. And you were like almost horizontal at that point, because you were leaning closer and closer to the machine. Like, fuck, I'm still alive. Holy shit. And then we were all just laughing, and like, kind of, I screamed, and Dennis was like yelling. It was like a sporting event, man. It was so fucking cool.
Yeah, I think that actually helped me kill screen. Funny enough, I know it's a funny thing to say, but I kind of felt like I was just happy with whatever happened from there on in, because I hadn't done something like that on Donkey Kong before, and just like to be in such a shit situation and coming out unscathed was exhilarating. So
man,
I think that took the pressure off the game a lot as well.
Because like you should have died basically, but somehow you escaped death.
Yeah,
and everything after that was a bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember you saying
a great
that.
Great experience.
Even during the game, I think you said like,
"Yeah,
well, whatever happens now, I'm happy."
I'm just, yeah. It was just like I was stoked, like I pulled that off, and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually laughed like really loud as it happened. I think I do that when I see something really ridiculous. It just just comes out, and I just laugh. It was awesome, man. I love the fact that like you were getting further, and I think you expected to die, so you were kind of like preempting your like lean forward if you die, but you just didn't die, so you kept just leaning forward further.
it was just getting more intense. I think that's what it was. Like it was just such an intense moment. Like if you don't time that right, then you're dead. It was just super intense.
Also, like, sometimes there's nothing you can do if that fireball turns around, because it's random how quickly
or
it turns around.
Yeah,
it could have easily just killed you, but it was the perfect, it was like shitty RNG that led to this perfect situation where if you timed it right and then you got the good RNG, you get this awesome highlight. And you didn't disappoint, mate. You did not choke. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Unless a man died, mate.
it was a great experience and awesome one to share with friends, that's for sure. It was the first time out of the house for ages, so there was just a lot to it that was just made it really cool. And getting a kill screen. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the secret is you've got to be sick for 3 weeks, have a week where you're not on the screens, because you had a screen free week with the family, which is great, by the way. And then you came back and you were just like refreshed and just got a kill screen first try. You did the Shane Saul, except it was
Shane
like
Saul. I love that.
In a very uncontrolled environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shane Saul.
I wish I was anything like Shane Saul. Yeah, absolute beast.
Animal. Yeah, man. Well, maybe you'll get the bounty this year at Kongoff. And get
I wouldn't say that.
Whatever money it is. So you never know. If you've done it first go before.
That's Shane's fuel money. Yeah, he needs it to get back to the Gold Coast. Well, so.
You can still give it to him afterwards.
What like about you, Sean?
pity fuel money, like, oh, mate, here you go. Off you go.
They only gave me $10, Shane. Just lie about how much you won.
Yeah. Jeez, the sure went down this year, the prize money.
Yeah.
I'm so keen for BPAC, by the way, coming up July 14th, I think it starts. I've got the dates right here, yep. 14th to 23rd.
Yeah, 14th
July.
To 23rd.
Nice. Yeah. I've got the logo on as my wallpaper on all
Are
three of my screens.
Taking the week off?
Nah, not the week, because that's another thing I'll probably talk about, like, I can probably take a few days, but I want to have enough leave in November to go to Japan again.
Yeah, right.
So I'm selling some games. I just sold Conker's Bad Fur Day and Banjo-Tooie for a decent amount on eBay. That's trying to basically fuel myself to get there and not have to dig into savings or anything, because I don't really play a lot of those games. So
Well, did you play them before you sent them off?
I didn't, but I've had them for like over a decade. And my plan is to kind of focus my collecting from here out on only keeping the, like, I'll always keep all the hardware because I want to play it on original hardware, but I think I'm going to start going the Everdrive or ODE route. So it's still like all original, it's not emulation. I guess some people would see that as emulation, but if it's running with no lag on original hardware and it's still booting the ROM or the ISO or whatever, as if it is coming off the original, then I don't see that as emulation. And I mean, who cares, even if it is, as long as you're having fun and it plays well, to me, I don't really care.
Did you sell them for a good wicket? Because Conkers is quite notoriously like an expensive game, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I did. I could have put it up for buy it now and just left it there until it sold for higher, but I don't know. I don't mind having an auction, and then it just sells for what people think it's worth at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't mind sometimes putting stuff on Gumtree or Marketplace, but for games, you can get a lot of interest, and also then you have to talk to a lot of people who are offering different things, and it's just so much. It's not worth it, and you get less money in the end anyway. Yeah, scum.
Fake book.
Bumtree, fake book. I haven't heard that. That's so obvious. How have I not heard that? Fake news.
Pretty much. You put them on eBay and sold. Sought after games.
Yeah, so that pays for, you know, a fair chunk of the return flight to Japan on its own, and I'm not missing them or anything. So I'll just at some point get a I don't know, whatever's available at the time, I'll either mod to 64 so it can accept like a SD card. I don't know if that exists, but you can just get a Everdrive or like a flash card of some kind. Because I'm not that fond of the Nintendo 64. I like it for Mario Kart, Super Mario 64. There is a few really good games, of course, but for collecting, I want to focus on Famicom mostly because I like how the cartridges look compared to NES.
They're rad, eh?
And they're cheaper. Yeah, they're so cool, man. And they're fun to collect in Japan. Well, there's outside of Japan, there's not as much of a demand because people didn't grow up with them. And also, you need to know Japanese, but only for a very few of the games. Like, there's so many platformers and shooters where you don't need to know the story or anything like that, or need to know any of the text. Maybe it helps a little bit, but
as long as you're not playing an RPG or something, you should be good.
Exactly. And these days, I mean, you could play, I think you could get the cartridge. There are things like the Retron where you can put the cartridge in, but then it is playing via emulation, but you can patch the ROM that you get from your cartridge with a language patch and then play. It's kind of like you're playing it from the cartridge, but in English. But really, it's just taking the ROM. It like it rips the ROM, and I think it stores it while the ROM's in there. It's not really playing from the cartridge, but it's still cool. Right. And if you can, you know, that's how you want to play things, because, you know, that's part of the experience, is putting the cartridge in and the sounds of the plastic and the metal hitting each other. Oh, ASMR, mate.
Exciting.
Retro nerds. I love it. But yeah, so that's sort of a plan later in the year. But yeah, for BPAC, I definitely want to take a few days off because I'm going to be volunteering and doing some work there at like the merch desk, and also helping run some of the comps. I think we'll do probably an episode on the leading up to it a bit closer and go through everything. But if you are listening and you're interested, get your ass up to Brisbane 14th to 23rd of July for the biggest pinball and arcade event, I guess, in the Southern Hemisphere. Could be wrong there, but it has to be close. if it's not the biggest thing. And Brewdog, there'll be an event at 1UP, event at Netherworld, but most of it will be held at Brewdog with just the coolest setup you'll ever see. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, what were you going to say?
We'll certainly have an episode before before BPAC. I've got to go through all the Donkey Kong stats.
Oh yeah, I need to reply to you with my PB, how many Kong offs and kill screens.
Yeah, the list is growing, which is exciting. So yeah, really looking forward to it. But we can talk about it on the BPAC episode.
Yes. So, did you have any other stuff you wanted to talk about before I start jabbering away about your escapades lately?
No, all sweet. I'm all good. I'm keen to hear what you've been up to.
Well, so you spoke about having a Targ, playing Spectre, and the old kill screen.
The old kill screen. Ye olde,
your third kill screen. Second on an original hardware.
Yeah. Yeah.
That DK board, isn't it, in the machine at Netherworld?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Nice. And it was 865,000 points,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I don't think it was. I can't remember my first DK kill screen score.
Well, you've got so many now.
It wasn't as high as my the one that I did at BPAC, which was like 889.
889, yeah.
I feel like if you're scoring like a mid 800 game of Donkey Kong on a kill screen, you're no different to anyone who's scored a like similar. You know, like 10,000 here or there doesn't make you a better player, I don't think. Like,
nah, it's kind of luck of the draw.
Yeah. You were just lucky that certain boards went your way and you know, some of them might not have, but yeah.
Definitely.
Unless you're like really going for like 900 or something, like, yeah, that would be the only kind of time that I think you've improved from like a regular kill screen.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think I can hear the fan. It was affecting it and it's distracting me. If it's all right to turn it down or something. Sorry, man.
Oh, it's all good.
Oh, six shorts. That's all I actually wanted to see.
They're my bluey pajamas. So
bluey!
Heidi and I have matching PJs.
Cute. Such a good dad.
Yeah, so what have you been up to, Sean? What's news on your end?
My news is, so I did go in there, probably start back there. I got the high score pin at 1UP when I was there after the Fight Club recently, where I entered the Mortal Kombat 3 fighting, gaming tournament, but fighting game tournament. That was really cool. Dennis did a great job with the stream and a bunch of us were there. It was a pretty good turnout because that's quite an iconic title. Whenever there's one of the original Street Fighters or Mortal Kombat's, like the mainline games, people definitely show up for it. John McIntyre was there, Peter High, and get his name. Who came from out of town?
I do know it.
It's on the tip of my tongue. But I think he's from Bundaberg.
I thought he was down from New South Wales.
Could be wrong. Yeah
I'm quite. Yeah.
Well, Mike came third. Peter came second. Duncan, there it is. Came.
That's in. It. Duncan. Yeah.
Duncan just dunked on a wall and just took it out. He's an animal.
Duncan
he's
Donuts.
So good. Yeah. Turned them all into Dunkin' Donuts and ate them all up like they were nothing. I was really close between him and Peter. I actually, performed better than I thought. I went 2-2. And it was only when it wasn't too bad because you can only lose twice and then you're out. I won my first match, and then I think I lost one. Who beat me? Can't remember. I think, pretty sure John McIntyre's kid beat me, but you know, he beat a lot of people. Hi, Michelle. And then it was only when I got home that I realized I went 2-2, but the only matches I won were against teenage girls. So, you know, make of that what you will of my fighting skills. If, you know, I'm 34 and I've been playing this game, you know, a fair while, and then could only manage to beat a couple of teenagers. So, and also got beaten by a kid who's not even a teenager yet, I'm pretty sure. He's beaten me before. If he didn't beat me that day, he's really good. But yeah, it was so, pretty fun.
Yeah, good turnout. The thing was like 15 or something like that.
Yeah, somewhere like 13 or 15, somewhere around there, which is pretty good for the fight club. It looks like the next one coming up, because it's going to be for April, is going to be a bunch of ridiculous things, kind of like an April Fool's. It looks like it's going to be, or could be, from a number of ridiculous fighting games. So looking forward to that, because I might stand a chance if no one else knows the game very well.
I would love it to be... I really hope that it's either Golden Axe or Double Dragon, where you have to beat up each other while trying to score points. Boom.
Oh, wow. But then do you get points from beating up each other?
No, you can just kill each other. But you can, yeah, you can kill each other in the game.
All right. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So you've got to try and get points by killing opponents, but you also have to beat up each other.
Could you kill each other at the same time? So then if you both die at the same time, it's whoever has the most points that wins?
I'm not sure if you can kill each other at the same time, but like it would have to like end when someone's dead. That would be one of the rules.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there would be other games. Like I'm not sure if Final Fight you can beat each other up. But I'm pretty sure there is. Like it might even be like a dip, to be honest. Like
it'd be entertaining, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be great.
Dip switch to change it for like Friendly Fire.
Yeah. And you just play all these games like co-op games where people are fighting each other.
Yeah,
and trying to score points at the same time. This is gold. Like
you could even do something like kind of you could use like the newer Super Mario games where you can like pick each other up and throw each other off cliffs and stuff.
Yeah,
and make it a race like who can finish the stage first, and you can mess with the other people. That'd be fun, man. It's a good idea.
It would.
The best like Friendly Fire co-op games. That'd be a really funny comp, man. We should do that someday.
Maybe for my birthday this year, we'll do it.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'll be fun.
Shit, yeah. That'll be great. Yeah, at one up after the tournament, I played a few different games, and then I saw Tetris, and I thought, oh, what's the high score? Oh, I'll see if I can get that. I think it's Atari Tetris, and it's really fun. It's like... First level, I think, is just normal, and then there's it starts to have puzzle elements where they like you start off with some junk, and then it just gets faster and more difficult. And I ended up getting that top score, and I didn't even know that I would have gotten a pin for it. That's the pin there, and I it's pretty cool. High score, cool. It says One Up Arcade high scorer, and I told Marcus that I got the score. So Marcus is the manager of 1UP, and he said, do you want a pin? Get a high scorer pin. I was like, oh, sure. All right. I said, I don't know though. Cause that was a funny part. I said, I don't know. I don't think it was that good of a score. I don't know if I deserve it. He was like, it's my score, you dickhead, that you beat. Cause awesome. It was only like second attempt or whatever, but I play a lot of Tetris, and I don't know if he played that much to get that score. So that was pretty funny. He cracked up over that. He's a good dude. So yeah, got me the pin, and that was a pretty successful day. Good fun.
I reckon you should tackle the arcade Tetris. I've seen some people do some madcore games of it, and it feels like it's not too hard compared to a lot of other versions out there.
The Atari one, or like
TGM? The Atari one.
Okay, because there's the Grandmaster's one as well, which I haven't really played much. But yeah, I'll give it a shot. Maybe there's a score that I'd be able to get.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's a score on Twin Galaxies, and like the guy just gave up at the end. Like he didn't, like he was playing it, he was marathoning it so well, I think he just gave up. So yeah, it might be sky's the limit for it if you check it out.
I'll have a look.
Wow. And like, the pace that he plays at is nowhere near the pace that you play on Game Boy or
an NES.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll have to look into it. That could be interesting. I've never thought about doing a marathon before, but if it's going to be something, it might as well be Tetris. I'll look into that, man.
It would hold a lot of concentration, I suppose. Like, there's one move and you could F up pretty bad, but yeah, worth looking into.
A lot of autopilot as well, because you kind of know every situation almost where the piece should go.
Yep.
But yeah, once you stuff up, that's when you have to be alert and fix your stuff up, fix your misdrop.
Did you recall your score?
I probably got a photo of it. But I think the score before that was like 34,000, and maybe I got around 60 or 50.
Okay.
But yeah, it was like my second or third game after I sort of figured it out a little bit. I'll have to look into it for sure. It's a good tip. Always thinking of world records, Neil. It's just how you work. That's cool. So what was next? We had the Mikey's DK lesson. He did his very thorough beginner's lesson for Donkey Kong. And if anyone wants to see that, I think it's going to be or is already uploaded on YouTube. If you search if it is, I'll put a link in the show notes. I think it's probably Donkey Kong Beginner's Class or something on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you're wanting to get into Donkey Kong, especially if you're starting out, and haven't really played it at all, it's really good. Or even if you played it a little bit and you want to just be able to get past the first two levels quite easily, it's definitely worth a watch. Mike did a great job, made booklets, and yeah, just super thorough and did a good job presenting. It was a really fun day. We had like all kinds of setups. We had a Mysticade setup from Jeff Sutter, and he brought his awesome like CRT computer monitor, just looked beautiful with his joystick. I had my 8-bit dough NES style looking joystick hooked up to my laptop, and then we had another rig. I think it was yours, right?
Just a basic wood controller, so yeah, nothing fancy, but
it was nice.
Yeah, with a laptop, but
and two Mikey cabs.
Went round and the two genuine cabs. And Mikey went round and put all the stickers or like some little instructions on each of the machine, like the arcade setups and the MAME setups as well. So that was really cool.
Yeah, man. And he did a great job.
He did some like take home books on the class as well. For all the new players. And we had three new players.
Yeah, so that was really cool. Because it's at this point, you know, there's anyone who wanted it to be into Donkey Kong has almost gotten into it by now. So to get some new people to come along, whether they just want to play Donkey Kong or if they end up joining the community, I mean, it's always the more the merrier. it's almost like, you know, do you want to get more people into Donkey Kong and infect them with this curse? But I think overall it's a positive thing. Even if you end up hating the game some days, it's overall what you get out of it, the satisfaction, the community, it's great.
Yeah, the community is fantastic. It's mm-hmm. a bunch of sick people. Yeah, a bunch of sickos, but we love each other.
Bunch of sickos in love. That's what we are. that's awesome, man. Yeah, apart from that, I've been playing my PS5 a lot. I played Astro's Playroom. So we had my mate and his girlfriend living with us just for a few weeks because the place they were living at with their friends, their parents came, the girl's German, her parents came over from Germany to live with them. There's three German girls in our like group of friends. We all met each other because of the first couple that got together, and their parents came over from Germany, so they kind of had to live somewhere else for a little bit, and we were playing a lot of Astro's Playroom, and then we both finished that, and I got all the trophies for it, which I like to do sometimes for games that I really enjoy if they're fun trophies to get. I don't like spending hours and hours just trophy hunting or anything, but if it basically just adds more fun challenges, then I'll go for it. Yeah. And he played, we played It Takes Two together, which is a fantastic game for co-op. It wouldn't be one that you can do co-op friendly fire, really, but it's just a really good story, really well made, really good mechanics. It's like 15 or something different genres in one, and one is done quite well. Like, there's sections that are like 2D platforming, the sections that are 3D platforming, Crash Bandicoot style, sort of Mario style, that 3D Mario style stuff.
Does it so interchange many, between levels, or is it all just like you turn a corner and then all of a sudden you're just like 2D platforming? Or
sometimes you turn a corner and it changes, but it always makes sense. It's never like, what the hell am I doing now? Like, the way that they've transitioned everything together, it's just amazing.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, Jen already likes video games, so you would love it. And with playing with the kids, and it's also kind of a lesson. It's a very kind of emotional game at times because it's about a couple that are planning on getting divorced, and the kid's really sad about it. So it tugs on some heartstrings for sure.
It actually takes three.
Oh, gotcha. It does.
Spoiler.
It takes three.
Two and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just really, really well made. I don't know. I'll just quickly look up because I don't want to not shout out whoever made it. But it's a fairly affordable. I think a lot of people might already have it as part of PlayStation Plus. Maybe it came on there, or you can get it fairly cheap online. I mean, it's rated 10 out of 10 on Steam, and it's 95% on Google have liked the game. I think it's Haze Light Studios. It's an action-adventure platform video game developed by Haze Light Studios, published by EA. PS4, PS5, Windows, Xbox One, Xbox Series X/S. Yeah, it's from 2021, and it came to Switch in 2022, so it's everywhere, and it's awesome. I also played another game of theirs called A Way Out. I probably talked about that on the podcast at some point, where it's like you got to work together to escape a jail. So this one's a lot more kiddie and colorful, and it allowed the genre blending a lot more because it's a fantasy game. You get turned into a couple of little dolls and you're in this basically made up world. So they could really do whatever they wanted, but the other one was a lot more grounded in reality. So really cool. Super, super recommend it. What else? Oh, I've been playing Atari 50. I've almost, I mean, you can't, the only way to finish Atari 50 properly would be to finish the whatever 80 whatever games are part of it, and there's no way I'm ever going to do that. Some of them I don't know if you can finish, but I'm getting through like the timeline of playing through everything, and I've just got up to Atari Kart Races, I think it's called, or Crazy Karts, something like that. It's like the Mario Kart of Atari, and that's probably the one I was looking forward to playing the most, because I love Mario Kart. So that's on the Jaguar.
Was it Wacky Wheels, or is there something else? Or
I'm not sure. I think that's something else.
Yeah, I was playing something on PC. I'm also might be confusing it with the show.
That's what I was thinking. Wacky Races or whatever?
Wacky Races, yeah. I'm pretty sure there was a game called Wacky Wheels that I used to play on like a Pentium back in the day. Which is like Mario Kart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Crazy Kart Racing? No, that's a different game.
Yeah, it's Wacky Wheels, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, the game I'm thinking of. Yeah, not the one. Yeah,
I think it's just called Atari Karts. The one I'm thinking of. Sorry, yeah, keep going.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Wacky Wheels is just like a computer-based kind of like it was just a knockoff Mario Kart. I used to play it as a kid. But yeah, I'm just looking at it. Yeah, brings back awesome memories. But yeah, it was just animals racing karts. Yeah, it was cool.
Hell yeah. Yeah, some good kart games out there. Diddy Kong Racing, Mario Kart, and Konami Crazy Races, I think it's called. Yeah, Konami Crazy Races on the Game Boy Advance is really, really cool. You can unlock the Vic Viper from Gradius as well. And I think it's like a overpowered kart. You're flying around a Mario Kart as Vic Viper. Around like Mario Kart style tracks from the Konami universe, so really cool.
All right. So tell us. Sorry, I cut you off. Tell us about this Jaguar Atari Races. Yeah.
I haven't played it, but I just got up to that part before we started the podcast, and I'm almost at the end of the game, or at least the timeline. And yeah, really, really cool, man. I think you're going to enjoy playing through that. There's some parts where I'm just like, I can only play this game for 20 seconds because it's some trash basketball or boxing game. You know, it's a joystick and one button. And there's just some games that are really cool and they're timeless. You know, like Missile Command is always going to be fun on the Atari 2600. But then if you want, some games get better as the technology gets better, like sports games especially. At least, I mean, depending on, you know, NBA Jam is always going to be good, but something in the style of NBA Jam from like 15 years prior or whatever, oof, some of them are bad.
Yep.
Some of those sports games were bad, and I think it was Real Sports was supposed to be their like answer to other consoles having more realistic style sports. So Atari, I think they had their original like soccer and all that. And then they brought out Real Sports Soccer and I played it. And it was like, there's three players on each team and there's not even a goalie. And I thought, wow, this is super real.
Yeah.
It was bad.
That's hilarious.
It's good that they included it. And have you ever heard of Sword Quest? The Sword Quest games on Atari?
No, I haven't.
You're going to learn about it when you play through Atari 50. And they, at the time the game was made, Warner Communications, I think they were called, owned, you know, like, I think it was Warner Brothers. They owned DC Comics and they owned Atari. So, and I think they owned a Mint as well. So, DC made a comic for Sword Quest, which got released and had tips for the game, Sword Quest, in it. Somehow there was like codes and things. And they ran a competition where whoever figured out the secret code or secret message that's hidden in the games one like $25,000, like there's a sword, there's a chalice, because Warner had like comics, a mint, and the gaming company. It was the three companies that could make some weird competition like this happen, right?
Wow. Yeah.
And the crazy comics are good. I read the first comic, and I'm going to get the other ones I can read on my tablet, because I don't really like reading and zooming in and stuff on the screen to be able to read and look at things properly. I'd rather like read on a tablet in bed or whatever. But yeah, Sword Quest, and they released three of the four games, but then I guess the fourth one, like maybe the first three weren't profitable enough, and the fourth one never got released. The games themselves are pretty, they're kind of Zelda style, but a bit more basic. I played them a little bit. There's like action adventure mixed in there with like you'll get to a stage and then you've got to do some sort of platforming or shooting or dodging. Pretty cool. Didn't play them for long. I just thought the whole story about it all happening, I never had any idea about it. There's so much stuff in that. You're going to learn a lot about Atari from playing that when you play your copy, mate. It's going
to
be cool.
Yeah, looking forward to it. That's yeah, obviously more gems in the Atari than people would realize, I think.
Definitely.
Especially with like some of the older consoles that just didn't really get a run.
Like the 7800 and the 5200?
Yeah.
Even older.
Oh, even older. Well, I don't know much about the Jaguar. I've always wanted one.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if anything good came out on it or not.
I was just playing a bunch of the games or just trying them out, and I just don't like how they look that much. I don't know why. There's something about that 90s aesthetic where, I don't know, it looks kind of grungy, and they're trying to do 3D for the sake of doing 3D, and it just doesn't look very good a lot of the time. But then if they use that same power to just produce really beautiful sprite-based artwork and sprite-based games, it looks awesome. But
yeah,
that's just me. Some people love it. Some good games on there, some pretty cool ones. I think originally Rayman first came out on the Atari Jaguar. I could be wrong about that. But
oh, cool.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting learning about all this Atari stuff. And even though there was that video game crash in 1983, I think some people think Atari just died at that point, but they pivoted to computers and also kept making Atari 2600 games. I think the last 2600 game was made in the early 90s.
Yeah, right.
So it had like a 13 or 14 year life cycle or something, which is just unheard of today. But that was also part of their downfall, was that they didn't make another console soon enough, and they kind of just got superseded by other companies. And then they lost their hold on the market, I guess.
Yeah, because they definitely dominated there with the Atari 2600 for a long time.
For sure.
A lot of people had Commodore 64s as well. But it was definitely like a massive plug-and-play console of like that generation.
Definitely. It's great. It's iconic. I've got mine sitting over there. Shout out to Dennis. That's another thing I've been up to, playing a bit of Moon Patrol on my Vader 2600, which was fixed by getting a new mod chip thing for it, because I have it AV modded, and Dennis got it up and running again, the Legend. So enjoying that. Oh, that's a pickup I need to talk about as well. The TV that I'm playing it on now. Well, let's get into pickups then, shall we?
Go for it.
So let's get into parps. But hey, we're not on the parp podcast, just to be clear.
The new TV. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about this one.
It's a CCTV. I was looking on Facebook Marketplace, and really nice dude. I've got to get his name, because we had a good chat. He's got quite the collection of CRTs. His garage has many, many in there. And he went down Give me one sec. I just want to check the name. He got it from a theater. So he got it from the Brolga Riverside Theater and Convention Center, and it's a number starting with 4074. So I think it's down the coast somewhere or up the coast. I'm not sure. But he said he was doing a gig there, and he picked up this. He asked them, "Do you have any PVMs, CRTs, and stuff that you've thrown out?" And they said they had thrown out a whole bunch of them already, which hurts, but they did have some left. And this CCTV, so to me, I feel like it's the step between a consumer CRT and a PVM, because you can't buy it in the shops, but it's also not made to be the best quality that you can get. But it's a really good quality CCTV that comes with audio. It's color, and I've got my Mega Drive, my PC Engine, Super Famicom, and Famicom, and Atari plugged into it. And I've got them hooked up to a switcher. And it bypasses the audio for the TV because it only has mono. So I've got it hooked up to stereo from the switcher into some stereo Sony speakers. So it sounds a lot better. And it's just freaking cool. Basically looks like a PVM, and I've got the BNC things at the back, and
It's all got the shell of or the chassis of the big square PVM.
Yeah, it's basically a cube. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a white shell, handles. Isn't it?
No, it's grey.
It's grey, right.
Yeah, I'll show you. Sitting over there.
Yeah, hot. Yeah, that's mad, man.
It's so cool, man. It's 14 inch. The TV, and it just looks really good. It's crisp and it's super cool. And I've moved the giant Trinitron downstairs because it was at the moment, because I moved it out of the games room, which is there because that's where our friends were living, and it's sitting over here. And Michelle works out here as well, and now I've just got my little retro set up there, the couch there, and then so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's mad.
I like it, but it's all going to end up being back in there because right now there's a mattress in there. I'm stoked. It was a decent deal, $150. I got up early and on a Saturday and went down and picked it up because he's dealt with a lot of people before, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm not holding it for anyone, whoever comes and gets it." He wasn't rude, he just said, he told me, "Yeah, it's good to go, come tomorrow morning." There was someone who planned to come and get it the next weekend, but they, who knows if they would have ever shown up, and I just said, "Well, I can come tomorrow." The ad clearly stated not no holds or anything like that, so
yeah,
I just went and got it as soon as I could because I just thought it looked so cool. It's Samsung as well, so really good quality. And he color graded it for me. He has a cartridge where it has the different colors, I think, a rainbow, and you tune it to what each color should be like. So it looks really good, really accurate to what the colors should be. Just get his name. Yes, I am. He said, Stevens is his name. He says, "Yes, that's sick," because I sent him a photo. He said, "Put it on the CRT Collective group on Facebook." So his name's Steven, good dude. I told him about the podcast too, shamelessly plugging it, and hope maybe he'll listen to this. Hope you do, Steven. I'll send him the link. And I said to him, maybe we can have a chat someday, get him on and talk about his collection. That'd be pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah, did you see any other gold while you were there, Sean? There's some crazy CRTs out there with the real bubble heads or the Darth Vader ones
they're cool, aren't they? I did actually own a Darth Vader one. Well, not owned, but I went and picked one up for Steve Riding. And so he's got one. It's a pretty cool one. He had a massive widescreen, I think they call it a Wega, Sony Wega, not a Trinitron. And he also had a, I think it was maybe a low, so it had SCART. And he also had a SCART modded Trinitron that he did himself. So wow. He had a few. It wasn't at the time, it was fairly well like organized, but at the time it wasn't super neat and tidy. And I didn't stick around too long because he had to take his kid to swimming.
Yep.
But yeah, it was really cool. It was a good, I'd love to talk to him about his collection and how he's picked some up, because if he's going around and doing gigs places, he's probably asking everywhere he goes, do you have any old CRTs?
Well, you never know, especially like at the back of like a bar or something. I don't know, something like that. Yeah,
you don't. Hey, you never know what's lying around, even if it's not like a PVM, even if it's just an old CRT they used to use in the shop, could be something cool. I would say that CCTV might be more rare than like a BVM or PVM because they're much more sought after. So it's people are a lot more aware, I think, that they're worth something, or at least like there's a lot more of those in collectors' hands and people who want them. But I don't know about CCTVs. I've never even considered it because I never heard it mentioned before. But then I saw the photos he put up of it. I thought, this looks freaking awesome. I'm going to go for it. We've only got like a few minutes left, so I'm going to go through a pickup. So on the weekend, me and Michelle were driving to Cedar Creek. Not Cedar Creek Falls at Mount Tambourine, but actually Cedar Creek where they have rock pools there. And I don't know where it was exactly, like somewhere on the way to Sanford. We just saw this like massive garage sale set up on someone's big property on the side of the road. And it looked kind of like a big flea market, but it was just one person's property. And we've been looking for furniture, so we still need bedside tables and stuff because we've only moved in here recently. So we pulled over, went to have a look. I found like a Wii sitting there, but it was like had moisture in it and the games for it weren't anything special. I thought, ah, okay, it was a good sign because I'm always looking for games at a place like that, like any op shop, antique store, garage sale. And I just asked the guy, I said, oh man, do you have any other video games or anything like that lying inside? And I was hoping he would say, you know, Nintendo or Sega, old stuff like that. He said, oh, yeah, I got some Xbox stuff. I'll just go have a look. And he came out. He had a tub full of controllers for, I think, somewhere between PS2 and PS4. So I got this PS4 controller. It's a bit dinged up. Yeah, it looks really nice.
Cool color.
Yeah, the dark blue. I really liked it. Like, that's a color I would have chosen. And I recently gave my brother my PS4 controller because I thought, well, I don't need it. I've got a PS5. But I've got heaps of PS4 games, and having two controllers is good because you can still use these on PS5 and play PS4 games on it. You can see that it's a bit broken apart, but I think it just needs to be clicked back in. It looks like it's just been kicked around a bit. I've already got new joysticks on the way. I haven't plugged it in yet. I was saving it for the podcast to see if it holds a charge or anything.
Here we go. Drum roll, please.
I'll just unplug the keyboard. I don't need that right now. Let's see, and got a minute and a half. Oh no. Yep.
Hey, there you are. Boom. We've got your light. Beauty.
Let there be light. It's turning on, but it didn't come up with charging. I'll see what happens there. It could be that the battery maybe is dislodged or something.
Yeah.
But so I'm going to sort that out, clean it up, fix it up. I'll update on the next episode.
Right, it's a pretty bit of elbow grease.
A bit of elbow grease, you know, get in there, shine her up. I got this. It's like really nice condition. Doesn't have battery corrosion 360 controller, because the only other one I've got is the R2-D2 or the C3PO one that comes with the R2-D2 Xbox. And I didn't really want to play with that too much. Just like the look of the black controller. And all of these games,
And you know, I paid $30 for everything. I offered him $30. Oh, he said, steal. Yeah, man. Yeah, how good is that? I mean,
Red Dead.
Some Redemption, of these games undead. Might be worth. Yeah, I used to have that and I sold it and I thought, well, I'll play this on the Xbox One. I think it's backwards compatible and I'll see what it looks like. Yeah, so I've got Red Dead, Undead Nightmare, Forza Horizon 2, Horizon 3, which I think I already have. Maybe I sold it though. Micro Machines, World Series, Rocket League Ultimate Edition, which is cool. I love Rocket League. Star Wars Battlefront. And that actually is a promotional copy, not for resale. Okay. I have no idea if that makes it rare or highly sought after or anything, but I thought that's pretty cool. Made sure that they all had the discs. No manual, which maybe it never came with one if it's a promotional copy. But, I mean, it's a cool game.
That'd be heaps of them because no one could sell them.
Exactly. Not allowed.
Yeah, that was black market shit that you did, bro.
Yeah, that's it. DICE and Lucasfilm's going to come after me. I gotta watch out. Look at this cover for Rocket League. It's all shiny and stuff. Looks pretty cool. And it comes with Batmobiles, which I only just saw. And I love Batman, so that's mad.
I love that Rocket League's old enough to be found at a garage sale. It doesn't feel like it was out that long ago, you know?
It's been a few years, for sure. The lady there said, I mean, this one's got copyright 2018 on it. I think that might have been when it was released in this form, the Ultimate Edition.
Yeah.
It comes with a whole bunch of different stuff, but it could be download codes that aren't with it anymore. I'm not sure. But the lady said, yeah, my son, are they for you or like for someone else? I said, yeah, they're for me. But she said, oh, my son plays like all the time. So was it a couple at the garage sale? So afterwards, it occurred to me, I wonder if they like had permission to sell the stuff or is it just stuff that he left there and had moved out? Oh, it's mine now.
also be careful what you leave behind.
Exactly. With mum and dad, they don't care sometimes. Star Wars Force Awakens, Lego, and Jurassic World. Those games are pretty cool. Pretty stoked on that. I mean, that's probably $100 worth at least. I'd say for $30.
Think of $30. Boom. You're laughing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
well done, man.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
The game's looking really good condition, too.
Yeah, they mostly are. There's one that's like a bit looks like it's been chewed on or stood on by a dog or a person. Stood on by a person, chewed on by a dog. Or vice versa, who knows? Who knows, man? I'm just keen as to like get this PS4 controller like looking new. I might even I could probably buy a new trigger because it's I might just shave it off actually, smooth it off at the back because it's got like some chunks taken out of it. It looks like someone just rubbed it in the dirt. I don't know how that happens, but
yeah, it's been through shit.
It has. I'm gonna get it.
Call of Duty player.
Yeah, just throwing it back this. I think I do have another pickup, but this podcast is running over time. I'll save that for the next one. My mate, shout out to you, Vince, for picking me up a really cool coffee table book, but I'll save that for next time. Don't let me forget. Oh,
exciting. Exciting. Yeah. No, I won't.
I'll tease you with that one. I know you love a tease, Neil.
All right, shall it's we wrap to call this it, one man. Up? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Thanks for joining me, Neil. I think we can do these shorter podcasts much more often. I'm not going to promise fortnightly or anything, but that's around about what I'm aiming for.
Did you say fortnightly? Yeah. All right. But we won't promise that.
No. But we'll allude to it. Very strongly.
Yeah, certainly. Hopefully the other lads will be able to join us, which I'm sure they will.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. This one was a bit late notice. So certainly, as long as we have two of us or one of us talking to someone,
mm-hmm.
I mean, solo podcasts are a thing sometimes, but I don't know how that would go. Maybe one day. Yes. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. I didn't mention at the start, it is Monday, the 20th of March, 2023. Every time I listen to the Pocket Arcade podcast, I'm reminded that that's a good thing to do at the start. Thank you, Mark Bell. He's an organized man, that one.
He's a well-oiled machine. He's well-oiled with his new oily deck. Yeah.
Oh, my oily dick. Good times.
You must have a barrow over. See ya.
See ya, mate. Thanks, everyone.